The two existing towers are to be removed and replaced with this large tower here, which will again have two tube slides down to a landing pole here. To separate out smaller children, because these towers will be a little bit taller, they will conform to C1 zoning's 42-foot maximum height requirement, but the two towers will be taller and faster, and hopefully will try to keep the facility current. This facility here is for, it's basically a kiddie slide coming into the same landing pool. That's essentially the new facility that's proposed at this time. They would like to reserve this area to take this existing kiddie pool and expand it into that area as well. The mini golf course.
Let me ask you just a couple quick questions about the water slide portion of this. The landing area for the kiddie pool, is that different than what is there now? And if so, how much larger is it?
How much larger is this pool than what's on the original
kiddie pool?
Over here?
Yeah.
This is unchanged.
All right, for the kiddie pool, for the landing area for kids.
You mean this one over here?
Landing area, as they come landing down
here. Landing
area.
Yeah. This is a combined landing area pool for both the kiddie slides and the adult slides. This pool area will be slightly larger, but as a landing area, people don't land in these pools. They land, they get out, they turn back to line or to other parts of the park.
Okay, there is no swimming in this pool, is
that correct? No, it's not a swimming, lounging pool at all.
And how many people do you know are allowed in the landing area at any one particular time?
One per slide.
Would you go ahead and describe, if you will, please, the miniature golf course addition?
The miniature golf course is to be added in the area where the existing parking lot is in now. If you look at the existing survey, right now, when cars pull in off Route 54 into Virginia Avenue, as soon as they pull in off 54, if they're going to turn left into the water park's parking lot, they're immediately creating congestion for any additional cars coming in from Route 54. That's why that area is now being used for the mini golf, and the parking is actually being pushed to the rear of the property to facilitate a smoother traffic flow and eliminate that congestion. The mini golf comes around here. In answer to Mr. Dukes' question, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit, Dennis, because that's a very good question. The question you asked was, why did DLDOT change their mind? The answer is they actually didn't. Their letter never changed. Their no objection letter always referenced only to having a taking of right-of-way on one parcel, but Mr. Lank was in possession of a graphic that showed both halves having a dedication. The language in the actual letter states that it's only parcel 55 that's subject to the 10-foot dedication, so there was a conflict between the letter and the graphic. When we met with the department, we explained that parcel 54 has an existing parking lot within 10 feet of the property line. It's already developed. They looked at their future plans for Route 54, determined that they could live without the dedication in terms of their future improvements to the area, and in light of the fact that it was already developed, they changed their graphic to match their letter and only require a dedication from the parcel that we're showing on the site plan. So that was received. The revised graphic came in an email from Mr. Fiore at DLDOT. Attached is a revised no objection drawing for this exhibit. The drawing was sent out, had a 10-foot reservation across parcels 54 and 55. The revised drawing only shows a reservation across parcel 55. He did not revise the letter from April 30th.
What are you going to do if they come back and say we want 10 feet on parcel 55?
That's why we met with them in advance.
Don't make a difference. They do it all the time. They just did it to someone who called me last week.
Well, in that case, I would probably ask you all to help me with them. But I think when it comes to DLDOT, we're probably on the same page. We often find ourselves at odds with them. But again, we met with them. We described the project. We described the existing development that was there. They agreed to a dedication on one parcel only in writing, and they amended their exhibit to match what their letter said.
What are they going
to
do with it?
What are they going to do with the dedication they're taking?
It'd be something to give them a chance to widen it, Dale, or put a bike path or something in the future. It's on the edge of 54, right?
And they're on the Mr. Cole, what are you going to put a bike path in there for?
No, it'll continue on. But they're going to hope to continue on.
It will continue on across 55, parcel 55. Will it?
No, it's going the other direction. It's going to go out the west from there. is what they're probably proposing, right?
Okay, I'm glad I don't work for DelDOT.
I do mean, we're not much help explaining it.
No, I'm not faulting you. I'm just...
Where were we then?
I don't grasp it, but that's okay, go ahead.
Let me back up with you for, let's see here. We were talking about the golf course addition,
yes.
Mr. Chris and Mary. And the question was, let me ask you this question. How many holes will this miniature golf course have?
18 holes.
Absolutely. And where will it be located?
Sorry, 18 holes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Where will they be located?
Yes.
They will start at the ticket hut here, located very near the existing parking lot entrance, and then just proceed around the perimeter of the property, around the perimeter of the existing water park.
And other than the ticket hut and the 18 holes, what else will be added as part of the scheme or theme of the miniature golf course?
A bathroom will be added, not as part of the theme, but as part of the facilities. And there'll be a skull placed here, Viking/pirate type of a theme will be what's used for the...
A number of the adjacent
questions. Wait, Mr. Schrader gets done.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Slide you down a little bit, down to the back side of the property there, or the back of, yeah, on down a little more. The 20 part, or the parking spaces.
Yes.
Parking spaces. I recall there's houses down there. Are those houses on, is that right at the end of the property before the houses on that next street?
The proposed parking would be right in this area here with a privacy fence bordering both of the
houses. Okay, I see. The houses are then on between that and the next street.
This is, I believe, Maryland
okay.
Avenue.
Okay, that's in between, that's in between those.
This is Virginia Avenue.
Right.
Virginia.
Okay. Okay, that answers my question. I see what you're doing.
It does it looks like some of the park, the water chutes cantilever over top of the parking?
Yes. Yes, that would be the case.
Is that, my impression is when you're trying to jam a lot into this parcel, is that, could you tell me why you wouldn't see that as a logical observation that when you have to cantilever over top where the parking areas are with your actual amusement, that there's gives the appearance that you're just jamming, you're trying to jam too much in.
If the tube 25 feet over your car makes you feel jammed, you must be driving a much nicer car than mine.
Well, that's not the issue.
Okay,
the appearance is you're trying to jam a lot in on a piece of ground here. You're getting a lot of use out of that light. Right now it's only got a water park and some parking. And you're asking to get all this added, and it just seems to me that you couldn't have designed that so you don't have to cantilever it over top of a park.
If we felt like that were a negative, we would probably go ahead and redesign that. And quite honestly, the tubes were designed by a specialist out of, I believe, Mr.
You don't have room to move it all. You don't have room to move it down.
If that were a condition that this council were to choose to apply the approval, I think we could accommodate that if that condition were. We could make that work. I'm not sure that it enhances the project in any way or protects the neighborhood.
Well, I don't know if cantilevering over top of the parking enhances it either. To go with your logic. But anyway, I'm just curious. Just gives that appearance.
Okay.
Speaking of the tubes and the towers that go with this particular project, Mr. Christenberry, what is their height?
The platforms are 33 feet from the ground, so the maximum building height of 42 feet in a C1 zone should be more than enough for any railings and canopies that may be above the platforms.
And if I were to go to a water park or this particular water park, would I be lined up at a stairwell? How does that work?
Yeah, this is the stairwell that would go around the tower up to the launching area.
And when you get to the launching area, what, one person at a time?
Correct.
Until that person hits the landing
pool. Until that person hits the landing pool, and then... I mean, as far as the operations, you may want to verify that with Mr. Anderson, but I've been to several water parks, and that's how they've always operated.
What's the current height of the water park?
It is going to be increased by, I think, about 6 to 8 feet.
What is the current height of the
I don't, the surveyor didn't provide an exact height.
25 feet.
25 feet to the, platform?
To the top of the railing.
To the top of the railing. Sorry, is there a chance to introduce the applicant, Mr. Earl, to answer your question?
I mean, Jim, does somebody answer the question?
Yeah, 25 feet, and the new one's going to be how, 30?
33 to the platform, the railing would probably be about 4 feet above that, so about 37. And if there were a shaded canopy or anything added, it would be within the 42-foot that the C1 zoning allows for.
So you may max out the 41, the 42 feet?
We would comply with the code as it exists.
Mr. Christenberry, we talked about the continuum of the water project, water park. Do you know what the hours of operation are for the water park?
From 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. when they're open, they pretty much stop selling tickets by 6 p.m.
The a question was asked by Mr. Dukes about the adjacent residential real estate. One of the concerns that was raised at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing was the effect of this project on adjacent properties. Can you describe what is being designed into this project that would help protect the adjacent properties?
Along the two property lines that do abut residential, both a trailer park and some single-family homes, would be a privacy fence that would max out what the county will allow, which is a 6-foot-high privacy fence. That area also have the mini golf kind of acts as a buffer from the existing water park.
And I noticed that you have a lot 3 sitting in the middle of something. Can you tell me what that is right there?
That's the initial subdivision that these lands were part of. They've owned lot 4, which is this parcel, for 20-some years, and lot 3 they've acquired in the last 5 years.
And do I correctly read that to be a proposed stormwater management pond?
Yes, this will be stormwater management, and this area here will be stormwater management.
Does that graphic represent the final design of the stormwater management pond?
No, it doesn't. We have several different ideas as far as how to manage stormwater for this project. One is that we would propose that the parking area be made with some kind of porous material, whether that were Presto Geoblock or the porous stone. That would, of course, be subject to the Planning Commission's review and approval.
And would that also be reviewed and approved by soil control?
Sussex Conservation District will have review and approval authority over the stormwater management design for the project.
Will there be any buffering of any kind by way of vegetative buffer or fencing or whatnot along the line to the immediate left of that?
Along the edge of the mini golf course, they will come up with a landscaping plan that we would bring in for our site plan review.
No privacy fence there?
There would be a privacy fence, sir.
Privacy fence down this?
The privacy fence ends here at this property line. That whole property line, runs this whole property line, proposed 6-foot privacy fence, and then to this corner is where it started. We are going to have some additional fencing. I'm going to jump ahead again, Mr. Schrader, to another issue that was brought up at the Planning and Zoning Commission that was of great concern. When you look at the existing site right now, when cars park in the facility's current... Is my pointer working?
This is new.
Oh, it's a Radio Shack. Oh, wow. When the cars park in this existing lot, they walk along the roadway to get to the entrance of the water park. If you stand out there today, this is what you see. What ends up resulting is a fair amount of conflict between vehicular traffic and pedestrian traffic. As you go further down that same property line back to where the existing driveway dumpster pad is, you have the same kind of thing. You really don't have any kind of sidewalk or boardwalk. The site plan will address that.
If you could go back to that last photo while I hold the button down.
Yes.
On the Radio Shack. That is a person, I assume?
I think that might be Mr. Anderson.
And this is Virginia Avenue?
Yes.
This is the existing water park?
Correct.
And over here where the fence is?
That is the Fenwick Center's parking lot, which is completely fenced in except at the two entrances.
And right about where I got the red dot, that is the area that is the adjacent property that belongs to the applicant?
That would actually be Maryland Avenue, and then right about here would be where you would get to. Actually, the previous photograph may, this is the applicant's other lands, and then this is the finished.
And if you move on down Virginia Avenue, you move towards a residential area, is that correct?
Correct. The site plan tends to address the conflicts between pedestrians and vehicles by several different means. Most importantly, by moving this parking lot away from Route 54, it's going to definitely relieve the congestion that happens right where Virginia Avenue and 54 meet. From this parking lot, there'll be a boardwalk installed that will be abutted by two fences. There'll be a 6-foot chain link fence between this boardwalk and the actual water park itself, and running right down the property line will be a split rail fence that will keep pedestrian traffic in a safe place and not conflicting with the vehicular traffic. That split rail fence will run all the way to this location here where the existing ticket hut is. Both the fences will be broken so people can cross and go over to the Fenwick boardwalk and the other facilities, and they can come, of course, into the water park. The fence then continues to pick up and runs down to the ticket hut for the golf course. So all of this existing pedestrian conflict, which has been, if you read the record, repeatedly questioned by the neighbors, will actually be greatly improved by the approval of this conditional use.
One of the objections that was raised at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing was that there were wetlands on site that were to be developed. Can you address that topic?
I'd be happy to. The applicant retained JCM Environmental, a very reputable environmental firm, to investigate the property to see if there were wetlands that fall within the criteria of either the state or the federal government. They conducted soil borings, they surveyed the plant life that was there, and they checked for the depth to the seasonal high water table. Those three criteria are required in order to qualify as a federal wetland. In their report, they determined that there were no federally regulated wetlands, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers issued this letter January 30th, 2006, concurring with that opinion. So the answer to the question, are there any regulated wetlands on the property, the answer is no.
Would you describe for the benefit of the council the parking that's proposed for this project?
Existing, proposed, or both?
Well, the proposed, we don't care about the existing too much.
Okay, very good. Sure. The rear of the property is proposed to have 39 parking spaces. Again, we intend to use some kind of alternative surfacing to cut down on the amount of runoff, because we do understand that it's an area where runoff is certainly a concern.
And there's enough room in there for a car to turn around and come out, back around 24 feet will permit a SUV or something like that? Or
Mr. Lank, do you have an opinion on whether or not the geometry of these parking spaces meets the county code?
My public hearing or yours?
Section 115 Sussex County Code requires a 24-foot wide drive aisle, and if they are diagonal 9x18 parking spaces in a parking lot, those have been shown and indicated on the site plan.
And that includes one handicap?
No, two handicaps.
Two handicaps?
Right here and right here. Underneath the tubes.
During the course of the last public hearing, Mr. Chris and Barry, there was a considerable discussion and debate about the congestion in the area and whether or not there was a parking issue and related with the either current uses or the proposed use of the Dansk property. After that public hearing, did you undertake to do a study of parking in this particular area?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do to create a parking study, and what report did you prepare in that regard?
The September 7th, 2007 report that has been provided to councilmen was prepared by my firm.
And if you will, please describe what you did in order to prepare this report for the county council.
Sussex County Code, Chapter 115, 165B, Chapter 2, Paragraph 2, states the following. Shared parking study signed and sealed by a Delaware licensed professional engineer in the form acceptable to the planning director shall be submitted, which clearly establishes those uses that will utilize the shared spaces at different times of the day, week, month, and year, including seasonal or mode adjustment factors. The study shall be based on the most current Urban Land Use Institute's shared parking study methodology or other generally accepted methodology. And this,
we're considering that this one project, because they've got a couple activities going on that now are shared uses. Isn't that shared uses like two different parcels sometimes?
Well, actually, there are two different parcels here.
I mean, two different owners, and I mean, it is
not intended to be shared under the ordinance, as in the sense.
I mean, this seems to be a stretch.
My business and your business. It is different uses on the same site, and I will give you as an example, Mr. Cole. If you were going to have a church on a site and at the same time have a church school, you have two different uses, one site, each of which would use the same parking facility, but would not be using the same parking facility simultaneously. So when you get into sequential using, then you have shared parking as defined by this ordinance. I agree with you that at first glance, when you look and say shared parking, that means all of the neighbors are going to get together and have one parking lot. As we go forward, we'll see that is definitely not the case in this particular area.
The reason this approach was taken was the applicants represented to the Planning and Zoning Commission that their current facilities, they do own additional lands, which again are not the subject of this application, but let me bring them up to show you a little bit about what's going on. They currently own a mini golf facility right here. The Viking Golf Center is in this corner at Route 1 and 54. They also own and operate the water park. They've been operating these facilities for almost 20 years, and they said, based on our 20 years of experience, when this is busy, this is not, and vice versa.
But we're talking about new uses now. We're not talking about...
You are correct.
Right. That's nice about this, but that was...
Here's what I'm getting at. They made that statement to the Planning Commission. What we were not in a position to do at the Planning Commission, but we are in a position to do tonight, is document the validity of that statement by performing the parking study that you see before you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The parking study, the principles of a methodology are laid out. Your code directs the use of this manual, the Urban Land Institute's Shared Parking, Second Edition. This manual has several interesting observations about shared parking studies. I'm going to just read through the highlighted portions. In fact, the limited data in many land use classifications are not statistically reliable, and professional experience and judgment must be employed in their use. In other words, there is not a cookbook answer for every possible use. Mini golfs, go-karts, water parks are not addressed in Chapter 115. In any sort of specific way. It's very open-ended. So what do you do? You look at professional experience and judgment, okay.
But you're being paid by the guy who wants it. I mean, you gotta understand, we're not getting a third party in here to give us some.
I understand that, that's why I'm gonna very thoroughly detail to you my means and methods of the study.
It's a good study, but we need to have an independent study probably to get to a
So I am a licensed professional engineer.
Paid by.
If I misrepresent anything to you, I could lose my license.
I don't think of this, but then that's just.
If I make a fraudulent statement, could I lose my license?
No, judgment call.
I don't admit that.
That's not a fraud.
Could we let the applicant make their presentation?
Okay.
I'm just trying to.
Parking accumulation is defined as the number of parked vehicles observed at a site. Parking supply is the total number of spaces available to serve a destination. It may include spaces that are on-site, off-site, on-street, or shared with other uses. So what we looked at was parking. We looked at parking accumulation and parking supply on the area that was studied. A design day or design hour, and keep in mind, this is the document that your code refers me to. Design day or design hour is one that occurs frequently enough to justify providing spaces for that level of parking activity One does not build for an average day and have insufficient supply for the peak, if not multiple hours, on 50% of the days in a year. Conversely, it is not appropriate to design for the peak accumulation of vehicles ever observed at any site within that land use. Peak accumulation might last only for an hour or so, while there are 8,760 hours in a year. A traffic engineer does not design a street system to handle the peak volume that would ever occur. Instead, the level of activity that represents the 85th or 90th percentile of observed traffic volumes and peak hours on average days is used for the design. This second edition of shared parking uses the 85th percentile of peak hour observations for recommended parking ratios, unless otherwise noted. See Chapter 3 for further discussions of design hour issues. The base ratios are appropriate for conditions of free parking and negligible use of public transit, which brings up some interesting points. This property is located within easy walking distance of about 900 motel beds. Got the Fenwick Islander, 1,000 feet to the north with 240-person capacity. You've got the Atlantic Coast Inn with a 250-person capacity. You've got a 300-capacity Econo Lodge and countless rental homes within walking distance of this facility. The entire city of Ocean City, Maryland can be within a 3-block distance. The Ocean City North Transit Station is located right here. Anyone in Ocean City who reads about coming to Delaware to spend their money can figure out that they can get to this facility by public bus. And if you've ever been to Ocean City in the summer, moving your car around is not much, doesn't hold much appeal. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunity for patrons to come without bringing a vehicle. And that, I believe it's a very reasonable analysis that that happens. They're assuming in any of their studies that that doesn't happen. So that's a conservative analysis is being provided. The real question, of course, you have to ask is, what do they say about, you know, a mini golf and a water park? Well, interestingly enough, they say for active entertainment, you have to have a custom requirement for each tenant. In other words, let's get specific. Let's look at reality, which is exactly what we intended to do. The shared parking study team evaluated significant amounts of national information that have been found to be appropriate for estimating parking demand. Where good local data exists, however, such as peak parking statistics for single land uses, high transit use, or non-captive rates, they are preferable to the national data. We took on an actual parking study of this area to find out what's happening with parking supply versus parking accumulation in the immediate area of the project. When we talk about shared parking, what we're talking about is two facilities, a water park and a mini golf, sharing one parking lot. How do you answer that question? You can look at a couple things. You can look at the fact that the water park existed for 20 years with only 20 parking spaces. But maybe you can get a little more thorough. Maybe you can spend a weekend in August at the facility counting cars, photographing them, and determining exactly how many cars are there in the second weekend in August of 2007. Parking study consisted of the applicant's property right here. Golf Down Under is a mini golf course with 18 holes that is 1 block away. The applicant's other lands, including their go-kart track, the Fenwick Boardwalk, and a mini golf course were surveyed. And the Fenwick Center's parking lot was surveyed because they had written in a petition that they wanted to know what was going to be done about parking because they have serious parking problems. By their own testimony, they have serious parking problems. And I'll show you that on their letter. In order to determine what was happening in these areas, we set up log sheets that looked at, first off, parking supply. How much parking is available in each part of this parking study? The applicant's property has the 20 paid parking spaces that they've been relying on since the early 1980s. 5 years ago, they acquired this vacant land, and there's enough gravel parking out there to accommodate 20 vehicles. Very important question to me is, what's the parking accumulation? Is this being maxed out by their use? Is it being maxed out on a regular basis? What is the 85th percentile of parking accumulation on this project? it is my professional opinion, and there may be some that disagree, I'm sure the opposition may, but the second weekend in August is a very good weekend to try to answer that question. Golf Down Under has two rows of men. There's 18 parking spaces for 18 holes. That was our basis for isolating what to expect in a mini golf course.
Is that in Maryland or Delaware?
It's in Delaware.
Right.
There is another one across the street from them that is in Maryland, and we did not survey that one.
Do they have, does the city of Ocean City have a calculation for miniature golf?
I am not really knowledgeable about Ocean City. I've never done any projects there, George.
But it'd be easy to find out.
I could look it up right now. If there's your wireless broadband internet work, I could probably pull their code right offline, but I don't.
No, it would be curious just to know how they calculate it.
Yeah, I really don't know, but we did look at Golf Down Under. It's in Sussex County. It's in Fenwick Island. It's at the same intersection, essentially. So it seemed like a good way to gauge what is the actual parking accumulation in a mini golf course in the peak season. This is the other lands owned by the applicant. This includes their mini golf, the go-kart track, their boardwalk, and other facilities they have there. And this is the parking located on the Fenwick Center. Each of these green rectangles is a row of parking. There's a leader that comes off from it that tells you what the parking